Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And lines are open on a Wednesday. It's Catholic Answers Live. I'm Matt Swaim, filling in today as a guest host. By day, I am communications coordinator for the Coming Home Network International, a network of converts and journeyers helping people learn more about the faith. So I love being a part of Catholic Answers whenever I can, because our work and their work are two works that work hand in hand. Again, the number 1-888-318-7884 to get your calls in. And today we are all about what's concerning you in the spiritual life. Is there maybe a passage from Scripture that you've been looking at and it's convicted you and you're not sure how to apply it? Maybe there's an issue in your family that you want to find out how to approach in the most godly manner possible. Maybe there's something in your own spiritual walk, a sin you're struggling with. We are here to help you, and the person who has taken your questions today is someone you know well from his many years with Catholic Answers, Father Vincent Serpa. Dominican Father Vincent Serpa is a chaplain, staff apologist here at Catholic Answers. Father, how are you?
Fine, thanks. I'm doing very well.
I imagine that for you as a Dominican, someone who studies philosophy, someone who has a storied history of doing apologetics for the church as an order for many years, this aspect of your ministry, just helping people where they are to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that's got to be one of the best parts of being a priest.
It certainly is. That's why it's been so satisfying for me, because I deal with people like in situations like that all the time on the telephone and on the internet especially, and on the radio too. And, you know, sometimes people kind of fall through the cracks, or they're afraid to see a priest for whatever reason. And, you know, on the internet, I don't even know their sex, let alone how old they are, who they are, I only know what they tell me. So it's very safe. And, and I've been able to answer people privately on the internet as well as publicly. So those people who are really very frightened, they don't have to worry about anybody else recognizing what they're saying or whatever.
Many people who have a question, they think to themselves, I should talk to a priest about this. But at the same time, there's maybe that level of fear as well. You know, will the priest judge me? Well, maybe if that's one of the things that you're struggling with, maybe this is the chance for you to call in 1-888-318-7884 with that question that's just really been bugging you in your spiritual life. And what I've found with this program is your question that you're asking is never just something that's getting answered for you. There are probably a few handfuls of people in pockets across the country whose names you will never know who have that same question and are so grateful that you had the nerve to ask it on the air. Father Vincent Serpa, I wanted to ask you today, because this has been a recurring theme in my life before we get to the calls. It seems like in my life, there have been a lot of people, young people, people who are living right, who have been struck with illness. And when I say struck with illness, I don't mean a head cold. I mean serious, major, life-impacting illness. I have a friend who's in surgery today as we speak. What are we supposed to make of all this? Because for people who are on the fence about whether there's a God...
Well, the only sense that you can possibly make is by going to God himself and not looking at him in terms of what we would do or how we think, because he's not just a bigger version of us. He's Almighty God. I think the biggest problem we have in our society is that we forget who God is, or we've never really thought about who God is. But certainly we know enough through Scripture to know that he's very loving and loved us, his creatures, enough to join us in our journey in a human nature, and then to allow the creatures he created from nothing to torture and put him to death. He has shared our human journey completely. He knows what it is to be rejected, what it is to feel very lonely, and to feel mental pain and physical pain. So it's not as though he's trying to get back at us, because, you know, it's just the opposite. He's giving us an opportunity to show our love for him, as he did for us. And it shouldn't be surprising to us that that he's asking us to express our love to him through pain and sacrifice, because it's exactly what he did for us. He showed us that love is measured by sacrifice, not good feelings. We know how much someone cares about us by how willing they are to put themselves out for us. Now, the problem, the matter of our suffering for him, it isn't a matter of demonstrating to him that we love him. He knows how much we love him. It's not even a matter of demonstrating to ourselves. It's a matter of allowing him to draw love out of us that wouldn't have come if we hadn't been in such a situation. So when we're hurting deeply, physically or any other way, and we accept it in love and offer it to him as our as an expression of love, then we grow greatly and we become more like him and more united with him. And that's why he gives us these opportunities. They don't feel like opportunities. They don't feel comfortable. They don't feel loving. But he didn't feel loving hanging on the cross. He felt a lot of pain. But no one has ever loved us as he loves us. So it's in that context that we respond to the difficulties that come our way, whatever kind of cross it may be. You know, Brother Groeschel, Father Benedict Groeschel, has a book out, or had a book out, it's still out though, called Stumbling Blocks or Stepping Stones. So for so many people, you know, illness, great illness, or any kind of suffering in their lives, they see as a stumbling block. It's in their way. They want to get rid of it so they can live a better life. But the fact is, these are stepping stones, and they enable us to be our best selves for him.
You know, Father, this friend of mine I mentioned to you who's going into surgery today has been in surgery since, you know, the wee hours of the morning for something pretty serious. You know, he's got the kind of sense of humor and the kind of rock-solid faith to where I felt comfortable saying something to him like this, and that was that, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they're in a bad situation, you pray for them. But I said, man, I know that you're going to be going through a lot of suffering. Can I ask you to pray for me? Because I know in that furnace of suffering and questions and everything, that your prayers in some way have a special power because of the specific situation you're going through. I don't recommend, by the way, saying that to all your sick friends. But I felt confident saying it to this guy, just because I knew his faith was so evident, his joy was so evident in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that crazy?
Oh no, that's perfect. We're, I said, our best selves. You know, how more effective or honest would our prayer be than in a situation in which we are the least focused on self? You know, we're suffering for him. We're offering it to him. We're being generous, as you might say. We're imitating his generosity back to him.
That's like the young mothers I know who take prayer requests when they're going into the delivery room. Yes. And they offer up each hour of labor for somebody who they know who's in a tough situation.
We have an apologist here whose wife refuses any kind of painkiller at that time and offers it all up, and she's quite open about it. The nurses, of course, the medical people are flabbergasted. They've never had a woman do that before. But she does that, and she has several children, but she does that every time. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's powerful to offer your suffering up.
Nothing is more powerful than that.
I mean, that's kind of why we're all here, is because of somebody who offered his suffering up on the cross.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, we're going to get to some calls here in a little bit. We're going to take a quick break here on Catholic Answers Live. If you've got a question for Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain is in. The number 1-888-318-7884. If it's about suffering, if it's about doubt, if it's about anything in the spiritual life where you could use a little bit of advice, a little bit of counsel, give us a call. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I have a question for you. What if there were an easy and regular way for you to get better month by month and year by year at defending your faith? What if this way were inexpensive and delivered right to your home? There is. It's called Catholic Answers Magazine, and each issue is a lively and engaging lesson in apologetics and evangelization. And right now, we are holding our annual subscription drive so you can save big off the regular price. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the regular price. But wait, there's more. Subscribe for 2 years and we'll cut $20 off the regular price and send you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing audio lectures from Tim Staples, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and a talk from me on one of my favorite saints, Catherine of Siena. That's a savings of $20 plus five brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a two-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine at 818-487-2011 or Catholic.com today.
Did you know you can book any of our great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Mark 12:4, some Sadducees who refused to believe in the resurrection challenged Jesus with a hypothetical situation in which a woman was the widow of seven brothers who died consecutively. At the resurrection, whose wife would she be? Our Lord responded that they were misled because they knew neither the Scripture nor the power of God. He explained that after the husband and wife rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. In this, they are like angels. The Pharisees had an agenda. In this instance, they are intent on justifying their lack of belief in the resurrection. They're not much concerned about the truth. Jesus takes the opportunity to speak of heaven as union with God and the fulfillment of every human desire. We all need to listen to him about his plans for us. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And we are back. I'm Matt Swaim, guest hosting here on Catholic Answers Live from the Coming Home Network International. We're taking your calls for Father Vincent Serpa about the spiritual life. Before we get to the calls, we've got Maury, Stephen, Linda, and others waiting. Want to let you know our annual Catholic Answers Magazine subscription drive is underway with special pricing. So with Father's Day just around the corner, I'm a father, father's a father. The father in your life would probably be grateful to get Catholic Answers Magazine. So if you sign up for a one-year subscription, you get $10 off the normal price. Be a two-year subscriber, the price drops $20, and you get a flash drive containing five exclusive talks from a fantastic group of apologists, such as the ones that you hear here on Catholic Answers Live, Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Carlo Broussard, and others. So go to Catholic.com today if you want to get in on that deal. Let's go to the calls now. Maury is listening in Katy, Texas on the Catholic Answers app. Maury, what's your question for Father Vincent Serpa today?
Hi there, Father Serpa. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
My son is Nick Chamberlain, the sound engineer there. So
Okay.
I call in about once a quarter.
When you said Katy, Texas, I looked at him because I know that's where he's from.
Yeah.
Well, there goes the anonymity of this call, Maury.
My wife, Kelly, and I have been married for 31 years, and we've been prepping couples for marriage for about 10 of those years. Mm-hmm. And frankly, some of the best advice I've ever heard has been listening to Catholic Answers coming from priests mm-hmm. concerning marriage. And I'm just kind of curious, what is some of your favorite advice you give to young couples about to be married, and how about specifically for maybe lukewarm young Catholics, couples that are getting married?
Well, I tell them that the best thing they can do is to pray together on a regular basis. And I've known a number of them who, even before they were married, would get together either by phone or would actually be together for a little while each day to pray together. And there's nothing, it just sets the tone of your relationship. And after you're married, it sets the tone of your marriage, you know, because you're it's a vocation. You're called by God. You live your married life before His face, and you give witness to Him by your relationship with each other. That's the whole point of it. So it just helps you focus on what matters most and who you really are. You know, you're the two people that are joined together by the love of God. So that's the first thing I would tell them, certainly.
Yeah.
And then also to develop a sense of gratitude for each other and for the gifts that the Lord showers on them, because you can't be resentful and grateful at the same time. It keeps you at peace, and it also keeps us humble when we're grateful. We're acknowledging the one that we're grateful to, you know, rather than just ourselves. The more self-giving that a couple can be, the better their marriage will be, and certainly it'll be a great advantage to their children.
Well, that's beautiful, and once again, you know, confirms my idea that priests give the best marriage advice.
Even though we're not married.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
That's right.
A lifelong commitment full of sacrifice is a lifelong commitment full of sacrifice,
that's
whether
true.
You're a priest or a married
that's
person.
True.
So, yeah, it's true. All right. True.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Hey, thank you for a great call, Maury, and we'll keep your kid in line. All right, Steven's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Well, I just invented a city. On Immaculate Heart Radio, Steven, I'm sorry for what I've said about your town just now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. Father, my mom hasn't been going to church on Sundays, I recently learned. And when I talked to her about it, it sounds like her rationale is that that the Sabbath really isn't Sunday, and that she also just doesn't feel like it matters. She said, you know, it's kind of, she says it's men that just kind of made up the date that they should go. And she's also, but she also says, you know, she's fully Catholic. She says she believes in everything. And so when she asked for evidence of why it had to be on a Sunday, I said, well, give me your catechism. And she didn't want to look at the catechism. So I was just kind of looking for some advice on maybe how to delicately approach the subject again, because it's hard to bring up with her.
Well, does she just think that the Lord does not deserve her worship on a Sunday morning, which represents the day of His resurrection? Does she think that it's not that important, that he acknowledging His sovereignty over you or over her is not a real big thing? You know, she's not in this by herself. The Sunday is the day that the church has determined for centuries that we acknowledge His resurrection and His death. We celebrate it. Every time we celebrate Mass, of course, we celebrate His death and resurrection. But also, could she possibly be a bit ill? I mean, is she getting forgetful or anything, showing any signs like that?
That is possible. Yes, she's elderly. She's close to 70. So that is a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Was she kind of on you when you were children about being lazy?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a great upbringing, and we didn't slack. We didn't miss church on Sundays or anything like that.
Well,
so.
you might mention that she brought you up to be attentive to Sunday, and now she's countering what she taught you.
Mm-hmm.
And you might ask her, when did that happen? What, you know, when did the change happen? What justifies that? You know, but again,
right.
As I say, if it's, you know, if it's a matter of a slowing down of her ability to think things out well, that is a possibility. And if that is the case, then you certainly wouldn't argue with her. But you might ask her some questions about it anyway, you know, about, you know, when did this change? And mention that, you know, she taught you otherwise. So when did you change your mind, you know?
Okay.
And tell her that you'd,
all right,
you would like to know she's praying at Mass on Sunday when you are, you know?
Sure thing.
Okay.
Sure thing. All right. Thanks so much for the advice.
You're
welcome. God bless you all for all you do at the Catholic Answers.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Hey, thank you, Stephen, for your call, and thanks to everyone who listens on Immaculate Heart Radio. Again, the questions we're taking tonight, less of a way of arguing one point of doctrine or another, but really trying to figure out how to help the gospel live in our lives and live in the lives of the ones that we love. So a great question along those lines, Stephen. Let's go to Spokane, Washington, and Sacred Heart Radio, where Linda is listening. Linda, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What's your question for Father Vincent?
Hello, thank you. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article a young lady had written. She was attending Mass at a university. When she went in, there was a charismatic Mass that was being presented. Mm-hmm. She was horrified, and she was describing this Mass with healers and folks in the aisle, and I was amazed. I had no knowledge of this. And the article was written very strongly, and I was speaking to it about this article to friends, mm-hmm. Only to learn that one of my best friends felt that she had been called to come to the Lord through the attendance of a charismatic event, mm-hmm. that the Catholic Church was presenting. And although she didn't become Catholic, she really attributes her connection to God through this event. What my question is, I don't understand what this charismatic, is it a philosophy? Is it a practice? Is it legitimate in the Catholic Church? Can you help me to understand?
Oh, sure. It's quite legitimate. It's a matter of recognizing the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit, and it focuses on them. Just as in other aspects of Catholicism, you can find people focusing on other matters of devotion. Some the various spiritualities of the religious orders in the church, some stress one thing more than another, but they all believe the basics of Catholicism is common to all. And the Mass is the Mass, no matter where it's celebrated. The fact that they may speak in tongues or some of the things that you describe, that doesn't take away from that doesn't counter the teachings of the Church. There are saints certainly that have spoken in tongues and have expressed themselves in ways that we're not used to. But the thing is, that woman, you don't have to go to a charismatic Mass. Usually, though, those things are happen after Mass or at other times. I don't. There's no reason to be alarmed by it, and it doesn't mean that the Church has changed in any way. It's just a matter of recognizing the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, and the apostles, were spoke in tongues and were given special graces. And now, as holy as Pentecost is at this time of year, we focus on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruits. So it's not something foreign to Christianity. But she was kind of taken aback because she wasn't prepared for it. Is that it?
Truly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you could check it up on in the charismatic movement of the Catholic Church on the internet, you can check with. It's been so long since I've thought of these things. I'm beginning in Ann Arbor. There's a charismatic
Renewal Ministries is who I was going to bring
it
up.
Yes,
Ralph Martin, Peter Herbeck, and others.
Yes.
And Father, I just want to jump in here. The Coming Home Network International works with converts from other Christian traditions, and many, many, many people who have come to us had the main spark of their initial conversion through the charismatic renewal, either within the Catholic Church or in a Protestant congregation. And if it was in a Protestant congregation and they were tuned into the move of the Holy Spirit, and they realized that the Holy Spirit, in addition to inspiring all these things around them, had also preserved the Church for 2,000 years under a single authority, then that just sent off their Holy Spirit senses even further and made them want to join the Catholic Church. So I hope that helps a little bit. We've got to hit a break here, and we'll come back to some more of your calls. Give us a call if you want your question to get to Father Serpa, 1-888-31-TRUTH, 1-318-7884.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
Colleen Kelly Mast.
I cannot even count the number of times that God has clearly shown me His power and love when I continue to say yes to Him. He provides for our needs. Even standing at the funeral home during the wake of my late son, the Holy Spirit kept singing in my head, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." I didn't feel very strong at the time, but I knew that God was holding me close.
Mast Appeal with Colleen Kelly Mast. Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
As legend tells it, 500 years ago, a disaffected Augustinian priest nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. The evidence that he actually did this is pretty thin, but Martin Luther's objections to Catholic teachings concerning purgatory and indulgences set off a series of countless ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. The faithful Catholic wants to be God's instrument in healing these ruptures, but may not know where to begin. Join us this September 28th to 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers' 4th National Apologetics Conference, the Reunion of All Christians, a lively and inspiring conference designed to ignite and inform your faith. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. This is an event you don't want to miss. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to leave you wanting more. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Catholic.com is where you can find us online, and you can find us on Facebook, and you can even live stream the show on Facebook. As a matter of fact, if you're live streaming, your radio people can't see this, but I'm waving. All right. By the way, if you go to Catholic.com, I hope you click your way through to the Catholic Answers Conference to register or at least get information about it. The conference, Keys to Christian Unity, that's taking place this September 28th through the 30th in beautiful San Diego, California. If you don't believe it's beautiful, you can ask Father Vincent. That's where he is right now. But they have early bird pricing ahead of Father's Day, so get in on that now. The theme of this year's conference is the Reunion of All Christians. I might see if I can ask Marcus Grodive. He'll send me to this. I mean, that's what we're all about at the Coming Home Network, the Reunion of All Christians. So, again, Catholic.com for more information on that. Carlo Broussard, who's on next hour, will be one of the speakers. I'll have to ask him about some inside info on this. Going back to the calls, and Dante's in Washington, D.C. Hey, Dante, I'm in Washington, D.C. Right now, too. Guadalupe Radio is where you're listening, 1160 a.m. What's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to ask a question. My question for Father is about scruples. Mm-hmm. What is the Catholic approach to scruples in different contexts, when, of course, related to confession and forgiveness, and when this feeling that sometimes is unsettling inside remains of the confession that one has not been fully forgiven, or if one has been fully forgiven, we know in the innermost part of our beings that we're going back to our old ways in a way or somehow. What is the right approach? I would very much appreciate it. Take my response off over here. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, scruples tend to be more of a psychological matter than a moral or religious one. It's based on irrational fear, and the more one worries about it, the more it plagues one. And intellectually, you've just received absolution from the priest; your sins have been forgiven, but it doesn't feel that way. And scruples are all about feelings, feelings of fear, feelings of feeling unclean. And, you know, as the priest can just absolve you and you can walk out of the confessional and begin to think, well, but I did something wrong. Maybe I did this. Maybe I did that. And you start worrying about it. And it's irrational. You know, it's absolutely irrational. I deal with a lot of people who deal with this. And the answer is to recognize that what you're feeling is not you. You are not your feelings. And so their feelings are something we have. They're not something we are. So the more you can distance yourself from the feelings and recognize them as feelings and not yourself, that's the beginning of some peace. Also recognizing, and as people do, that the priest, if the priest tells you it's not a sin, he's a priest of Jesus Christ, he's ordained, he's been given special power and grace to forgive sins, then you take his word for it. And I'm amazed at how many people I've dealt with who have problems with scruples can accept the fact that when I say it's not a sin regardless of how they feel. And so it's very important to recognize that distinction because it creeps up on you, you know. And you were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, Father, do you think that part of that is that, well, essentially, scruples is you holding something against yourself that God no longer holds against you, right? Mm-hmm. So you're putting yourself in the place of God.
Yes, and it's usually the result of feeling that way. You know, you feel that you've done something wrong.
But do you think in some cases it can be related to the idea that some people feel that being tempted is just as bad as sinning?
Well, yes, they do, because so often, probably even most often, they will a thought will come into their head, and it may be a rather vile thought, a very sinful thought, and then they take ownership of it. Think, my gosh, I've got a confession. I had this terrible thought, but it was involuntary. They didn't choose to have that thought. It came to them. Even though it's a terrible thought, it makes you feel terrible. It is not a sin because you didn't choose it. It came without your wanting it. But because it's so vile, they it's hard for them to break away from that feeling of uncleanness. You know,
I mean, I've walked out of the confessional line, and you know, within 5 minutes, had something occur to me, and I'm thinking, why? Why would that even come up into my head? And all I can think of is it's Satan trying to rob me of the joy of the freedom that I've just experienced. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm not acting on that vile thought, or if I'm not saying those words mm-hmm. that are in my head, or I'm not acting out any of the things that, you know, are part of that temptation, really get to you.
Although most of it I would not attribute it to Satan, because it is an involuntary
it's concupiscence, I guess, yeah, would be a better way.
Well, and it's a mental health issue, really. Now, most of us, you know, obsess a little bit here and there, you know, but it doesn't become an obsession with us. But for many, many people, it does, and they can't. It's there all the time, and mm-hmm. every morning they wake up, and they try to live the day trying to avoid anything like that. But it's a very difficult way to live, constantly on, you know, trying to be on guard. I remember when I used to here in San Diego, one of the priests in my community was a psychiatrist, and he told me to be very, very patient with people who have this problem, because they suffer very much. So I've tried to be that.
Yeah, like the person who wants to wash their hands over and over because they never feel like their hands are completely clean.
Right.
Yeah, it's a real issue. Again, I think we all, as you say, obsess over a thing or two here and there, but it can hit another level.
Yes.
Let's go to another call. Aeneas is with us in Dallas, Texas on Guadalupe Radio. Did I say your name correctly?
My name is Anais.
Anais. Wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. I knew that was going to happen when they sounded it out for me on the whiteboard.
No worries. I get that a lot. No worries.
All right. What's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Once I ask a question, can I just hang up so I can hear you on the radio?
No.
Okay. So I'll just answer.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, no, absolutely. You're welcome to take your answer off the air.
Oh, I can't. Okay. All right. Thank you. So my question is regarding the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Mm-hmm.
I want to better understand the wording, because as far as my understanding, when we offer something up to the Lord, either a suffering or some sort of sacrifice for the intention of someone or people in purgatory, that kind of thing, when I'm praying in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we're basically offering up to God the most holy one, which is Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
for our sins. So I don't understand that, because, I mean, he's the one that gave his life for us, and why do we get to offer him for our sins? Do you understand?
Yes, I understand
question?
The question. I've
That's
heard it,
an
had it before.
Question, mm-hmm. by the way, and words that we pray all the time sure. without maybe realizing kind of the depth of what it is that we're saying. So, Father, I'd love to hear you unpack this one.
Well, the fact is, when Jesus died for us, he became our prayer, because the prayer that he offered was one we could never offer, because we're merely human, and he's both human and divine, and that's why his prayer has the power that it has. So his sacrifice in Calvary was a human sacrifice, but it was a divine sacrifice as well. And so he enables us, by being human with us, he enables us to pray in his stead, in his name, so that his prayer becomes our prayer. So it's the most powerful prayer we could ever offer when we unite ourselves to him and offer a prayer with his body and blood, because the Father will definitely accept it, because it's divine. So when we say, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, that his prayer on Calvary becomes ours. We do this at Mass. At the end of the Eucharistic prayer, the priest holds up the body and blood of Christ and says, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. He's worshiping the Father with the Son. And what do? We say amen. It becomes our prayer at that point. So he enables us to pray in a way we could never pray otherwise. And again, that is what is so very special about the Mass, because it brings us to Calvary, and we are there, and Christ is offering himself for us. It's not that he's offering himself again. That sacrifice becomes present to us in a concrete way, and that's why the Mass is unlike any kind of prayer that can exist in any other way. It's not just a prayer service. It's Christ's prayer to his Father, his sacrificial gift of self, and we become a part of that.
Well, Father, I'm so glad that this question came up. Last week, I was at a Lutheran Catholic Dialogue conference at Catholic University of America, and we were talking about all the various obstacles to dialogue. And one of the things that one of the bishops said was troubling to them is that in our very own liturgy, we make this language of offering Jesus. And it, from an outsider's perspective, it can sound like, well, wasn't it good enough that Jesus died on the cross? Why do we have to offer him again? But that's not what's happening. What we are is tapping into the one sacrifice that was made once and for all. And really, when we are saying, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, it's not so much that that's being offered, it's that I'm trying to enter into that offering.
Because that experience, that moment that Jesus died on the cross, was an eternal moment. It transcends all time. It covers everyone who's ever lived or will live. But it also, that moment also remains in time as the Eucharist. So the Eucharist is our key to this transcendent moment. And whenever the Eucharist has been celebrated from the Last Supper until Mass this morning, people are tapping into that same reality, and there's nothing else like it on the face of the earth. That's why Mass is so important. It's a shame that we have to cajole people, pester people to go to Mass. If we realize what it is, we'd want to be there, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is why the whole Apostle of Catholic Answers exists, is to help people understand what it is that's going on
sure.
In our faith, especially at the source and summit of it, which is the Eucharist, the intersection of heaven and earth there in the Blessed Sacrament. We're going to hit a quick break and try and get as many calls as we can in before the end of the hour. I'm Matt Swaim. Father Vincent Serpa is our guest, and the chaplain is in. So give us a call at 1-888-318-7884. Back after this.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, you can get a collection of 5 exclusive audio presentations added to your order for free. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a 1-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a 2-year subscriber and we'll up the ante by dropping the price $20 and by sending you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing exclusive talks from a top-notch lineup of speakers, including Chris Check, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and my talk, Behold Your Mother. That's a savings of $20 plus 5 brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now. This is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to Catholic.com today.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
I want to thank all of you listening across the country on the various stations that carry Catholic Answers Live and the apps and everything else. By the way, if you're listening on terrestrial Catholic radio, please support your local Catholic radio station because that's the only way that stuff like this gets out on the airwaves. You never know who's going to be flipping through the AM, FM dial, hit and scan, and hearing the dulcet tones of Father Vincent Serpa and thinking, you know what, I should go back to Mass. All right, we're going to go back to the calls. And let's go to Dave in Monterey, California on Immaculate Heart Radio. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Great, Dave, how are you?
Okay, not bad. My question is, I was raised not really Catholic, but did my first Second Communion. But then we went to a lot of different churches, and then a couple of years ago I was going to Assembly of God, let's say Christian, and with wife. And basically my question is, I got a divorce. We weren't married in the Catholic Church about a year ago, got divorced. And I'm getting led to go back or to go to the Catholic Church, maybe from my upbringing and all that. And I've kind of gone a little bit here and there in the last year. And I guess my question is, am I still getting divorced and not being married as a Catholic and then getting divorced? Can I still come back to the, or go to the Catholic Church? And what do I need to do to get there? That's basically, I don't know how to really explain it.
Okay, well, Dave, before you get into the answer to this, Father, I just want to say to anybody who's out there who's divorced and has thought, well, there's no place in the church for me ever again, I hope that you're asking the kind of questions that Dave is asking, because there is a place for you.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is, what you need to do is go and talk to a priest, you know, a local priest, and tell him your situation. The fact that you were a Catholic and were married outside of the church would mean that the church would not consider it a valid marriage anyway. But you would still have to have it reviewed and make sure that on paper that's what you're saying is what in fact took place. But even now, if you go to confession, as long as you're living a celibate lifestyle, you can receive Holy Communion divorce won't keep you from that. To attempt to say you were married in the Catholic Church, and you were and right now you left, and then you want to come back again. As long as you live the celibate lifestyle, you would be able to receive communion as well. But in your instance, the marriage is probably not valid anyway. So you go see your local priest, and he'll and also he might be able to get you in some classes so you learn, you know, your faith better than you know it now. Does that sound okay?
Yeah. Okay. So definitely get to a local priest.
Sure.
And tell my situation.
Yeah, but it looks really good for you. I just want you to know that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll be praying for you too.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Yeah, and again, to anybody out there who's divorced and thinks that they've just, you know, made themselves disqualified for any future connection to the church, that is not the case at all. We want you back. And there's been a lot of work in the church over the past several years to try and figure out how best to let people know that we want them back. We're going to head to Anonymous, listening in Wilmington, North Carolina, on Wilmington Catholic Radio. Welcome to the show. What's your question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Yes, Father Vincent. Mm-hmm. I just found out that my 87-year-old dad has never been baptized. I mean, my grandmother was a very faithful person, mm-hmm. but they grew up in the Depression, so survival kind of took precedence, you know. Mm-hmm. And he is starting to show early signs of dementia, and he's hard of hearing as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that any prep classes would be mm-hmm. ideal for him, but I'm just, you know, as he gets older, I'm concerned for his soul. So I'm just trying to figure out the best course of action and how to approach that subject.
Well, has he always considered himself to be a Catholic?
Oh, I'm the only Catholic in our family.
I see. Okay. I thought your mother was.
No, I'm the only Catholic.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But did he always think he was baptized?
It never came up until recently.
Okay.
As he gets older, every now and then, certain gems present themselves, and that was one of them.
Well, how do you think he would respond to your asking him if you could have him baptized?
I really don't know.
Why don't you tell him that, you know, you'd really very much like to have him baptized, because it would be very good for him, and he'd be he's not opposed to Jesus, is he? I mean, he's open to things Christian, is he not?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, you know, without scaring him, just in a friendly way, say, you know, we're just thinking about it. It would be really good if you could be baptized like the rest of us, and then see what happens, and then you could make arrangements with the priest. And it could be done very simply, and just a few people there, and that would be good, you know?
Okay.
I would definitely work on it, and we'll be praying for him.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Again, trying to help everybody in every kind of situation imaginable out there, because the faith applies to every aspect of everybody's life, whether it's into life issues, whether it's, you know, divorce and what have you. Let's go to Rob in Grand Rapids, Michigan on 91.5 FM. What's your question for Father Vincent on Catholic Answers Live?
A little strange one, but I appreciate you taking it. I am not Catholic, and this is in no way a slam on the Catholic Church because I know what they teach on it, but my mom became Catholic to marry a Catholic guy and ended up not getting married. And sometime it came up that she believes now that it's okay to be with another person outside of marriage, physically. And I wondered, as her being a Catholic and me not being, what would be if it ever comes up again, what's a good way to make that clear to her? I mean, she never taught me that when we were kids. We were told just the opposite.
Well, that would be the starting point. You know, Mom, you told us this when we were kids. What happened? You know, you've got a context to work with right off the bat. You're not just bringing it out. She's the context. You're not bringing it out from outside. You're just asking, why is it? Why aren't you thinking the way you did before? You know, then and you might tell her that, you know that it's this isn't considered an acceptable way of living for Catholics, and you're a Catholic, you know. And you could say you talked to a priest and he agreed with you, and see what she says.
And she will say, "You talked to a priest?"
she might be surprised, but that's okay. How does that sound?
She'll probably be happy that I talked to a priest. I'll say that.
Okay. And so you think you might be able to you know, remind her how she brought you up and what she used to say?
Yeah, definitely. If it comes up again, it's not one of those things you usually talk about, but it has come up a couple times, so okay. I will say that.
Good for you.
I've never had a conversation like that with my mother, just so you know. So the fact that you're even considering this puts you at a whole new level of courage in my mind, Rob, so you know.
I appreciate that.
All right. Well, we'll be praying for you. Yes. And again, you know, don't want to make light of the situation, because obviously this is something that, I mean, wow, you talk about
not an easy one.
Difficulty approaching a subject. Let's get one last call in just very quickly. Robert's in Camdenton, Missouri. And Robert, just got a little bit of time left. Can you phrase up your question in about 15 to 20 seconds?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Quickly, is it possible to be consecrated to Christ through Mary and by praying the rosary?
If you want to be consecrated to Christ through Mary, you can say, you can do it by just saying Hail Mary. You know, if you want it, it's done. You know, so yes, saying the rosary certainly would. If that's what you, if you want to be consecrated to Christ through Mary, then you are. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I think that part of the confusion comes because the popular Louis de Montfort total right. consecration right. of Jesus through Mary but, is a 33-day program.
Big thing. But, you know,
it's not the only way to go.
It boils down to the will, what your understanding of what you want. Yeah.
Excellent. And, you know, that can be a scary thing for a lot of people, consecrating right. yeah. myself oh, to Jesus, yeah. especially for a former Bible Belt Protestant like myself. I'm thinking, what have I signed on for?
It's no more scary than consecrating yourself to Jesus just directly. You know, it's still yeah. a scary thing because we know we're sinners. But, you know, look at a crucifix. Crucifix tells us that this is how close he was willing to come to us. So, well, yeah. Okay.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Father Vincent Serpa. It's been a fast hour. Next hour, Carlo Broussard's on. We're going to talk about the biblical basis of confession, and I'm not going to do what I've done to you in the past and leave you 3 seconds to give a final blessing. I'm going to leave you a little more than that, Father, so can you send us off?
Sure. May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
All right. Catholic Answers Live. 1 hour gone. Another hour headed your way. Thanks for being with us. And I have 1 full minute. You know, I was so concentrated, Father, on making sure you had plenty of time for that blessing that, all right, I'm looking at my notes improperly. So, we're not going to tell any Dominican Jesuit jokes, but I do want to ask, since you are a Dominican and your order is bursting at the seams, if someone's interested in religious life and wants to get in touch with your order to possibly do a discernment weekend, how would you recommend people going about getting in touch with you or somebody else?
Well, it depends on where you live. Just go to Google and Google in Dominican order and, you know, west, central, southern, eastern, and you'll get the appropriate province. And
it's a great order, yeah. again, busting at the seams. It is Catholic Answers Live. If you want to get in on the line with your questions about confession and the scriptures, 1-888-318-7884. That's 1-888-318-7884. We'll be back right after this. We're leaving for real this time.